Welcome to the podcast series of Middle East and Africa Textile Journal.
Thank you. Yeah, it's great to be here.
Right now, somewhere in the world, a massive industrial printer is doing something that used to be considered borderline science fiction.
Oh, absolutely science fiction.
Right. It is literally printing a specialized fabric designed to be entirely invisible to infrared sensors. And it is doing this flawlessly, layer after complex layer, like 10,000 times a day without breaking down.
Which is just staggering when you think about the scale of it.
It really is. We rarely think about the invisible scaffolding of modern life, the textiles that protect us, furnish our homes, and line our vehicles. But today, we are pulling back the curtain on the machines that actually make that reality possible. Welcome to today's deep dive.
It is the perfect time to have this conversation, really, because the materials we just take for granted every day are undergoing a massive strategic evolution.
Yeah, a total shift.
Exactly. We're looking at a fundamental rewiring of, you know, how things are made and, crucially, where they are made.
Right. And our mission for this session is to decode that future of global manufacturing using the textile industry as our lens. And to do that, we are pulling our insights straight from the exhibition floor of Tech Textile 2026.
Such a massive event.
Unbelievably massive. Just to ground you, the listener, in the sheer scale of this, we are talking about more than 36,000 visitors and 1,700 exhibitors flying in from 112 different countries.
Yeah, it's practically a temporary city dedicated entirely to advanced production technologies and technical textiles.
Exactly. And our specific source material today comes from a detailed interview draft featuring Andreas Rass. He's the CEO of Zimmer Austria.
Right, and they are a global powerhouse in digital textile printing, coding, and finishing solutions.
Which makes his perspective super valuable, right?
Oh, absolutely invaluable. Because Zimmer isn't just observing the market from the sidelines. They are engineering the heavy machinery that actually physically produces these next generation materials.
Okay, let's unpack this. Because if you want to understand where industrial manufacturing is heading, you really have to look at what the buyers, the ones with the massive capital expenditure budgets, are actually talking about on that exhibition floor.
Follow the money, basically.
Right. And according to the Zimmer Austria interview, the absolute number one topic dominating the conversations at their booth was something I honestly would never have guessed.
Yeah, surprised a lot of people.
It wasn't fast fashion. It wasn't like sustainable activewear. It was camouflage and military-related textile printing.
It really was the undisputed star of the show. We're seeing it shift from what used to be a very specialized niche into a major, serious industrial growth area.
I have to push back on this a little bit, though, because I'm tripped up by the technology aspect of it.
How so?
Well, when you or I think of camouflage, we usually just think of a visual trick, right? Just, you know, green and brown splotches printed on a cotton jacket so you blend into the woods.
Sure, the classic aesthetic.
Exactly. So is digital printing for military gear really just about high-resolution aesthetics, or is there a deeper technological play happening here that is actually driving this massive demand?
What's fascinating here is that printing the visual pattern is actually the easiest part of the equation.
Wait, really? The easiest part?
Yeah. The surge in this sector is fundamentally not about aesthetics. It is driven by a sudden, intense global demand for what the industry is calling resilient, regional, and trusted production for technical and protective gear.
Trusted production.
Right. The key word there is trusted.
Meaning, you aren't just running a standard cotton blend through a glorified office printer.
Not even close. You are dealing with incredibly demanding technical substrates. We're talking aramids, specialized nylons, highly complex polymer blends.
Which are notoriously difficult to work with.
Exactly. These fabrics have to be engineered from the ground up. They must be weather resistant, flame retardant, incredibly durable, and like you mentioned earlier, sometimes treated with chemical coatings that scatter infrared light to defeat thermal imaging sensors.
So the printing machinery has to manipulate highly complex chemical dyes and coatings onto a fabric that is literally designed to actively resist absorbing things.
Yes.
That sounds like a complete chemical engineering nightmare.
It is a massive engineering hurdle.
Yeah.
But digital printing is taking over this space because it offers unmatched flexibility to, you know, iterate on those chemical and visual combinations.
Right, because you don't have to swap out physical screens or plates.
Precisely. If a defense contractor needs a fast design adaptation, say, they need to shift a camouflage pattern's microgeometry slightly to match the specific spectral reflection of a new terrain digital printing, can adapt the software code almost instantly.
Wow. Just update the file and go.
Exactly. Huh? But the holy grail here is repeatable industrial production. You need to print that highly complex chemistry onto a difficult treated fabric and do it perfectly at high speed, hour after hour, without the printheads clogging or the machinery breaking down.
Which requires serious heavy-duty engineering. And building a machine capable of flawlessly printing sensor-defeating camouflage at that scale requires massive research and development.
Massive.
You don't fund that kind of heavy industrial innovation with a frozen budget, which forces us to look at who is actually writing these massive checks right now.
The buyers.
Yeah, because the headlines right now are dominated by geopolitical tension, cost pressures, and supply chain chaos. Conventional wisdom says in an uncertain economy, you freeze your capital expenditures and you just wait out the storm.
That is the logical assumption, definitely.
Yeah.
But it completely contradicts the atmosphere on the floor at Tech Textile 2026.
Yeah, the interview with Andreas Rass described the overall mood of the buyers as, quote, serious but constructive.
Serious but constructive. I love that phrasing.
It's very telling, isn't it? It suggests nobody is ignoring the macroeconomic headwinds, but they aren't retreating either. They are acknowledging the volatility and investing specifically to counteract it.
Exactly. Companies are actively spending capital.
Yeah.
But suspending has become ruthlessly selective.
Selective how?
Well, during a boom market, a manufacturer might buy a piece of equipment simply to expand raw capacity, or just because it's the newest, fastest, shiny thing on the market. That era of capacity for capacity's sake is over.
So what does this all mean? It sounds like we are looking at an evolution in how manufacturers view their physical assets.
Oh, 100%.
Instead of buying like a collection of standalone power tools where you need three different operators to move a product from a saw to a sander to a drill, they were looking for a fully automated multi-axis CNC machine.
That's a great analogy.
Right. Like instead of a careless shopping spree, they are buying a high-end, reliable multi-tool to survive in the wilderness. They want a single, highly capable asset that can pivot based on market demands.
That structural shift is exactly what the source material indicates. Investments are now strictly focused on technologies that deliver tangible strategic value.
Not just throughput.
Right. It is about buying machinery that offers greater operational flexibility and improves baseline efficiency. If your production line can seamlessly switch from printing high-end commercial upholstery 1 week to heavy-duty protective military gear the next, you have insulated yourself against market shocks.
And we are seeing that strategic investment intimately tied to geography, too.
Yes, the regionalization factor.
Because if you want trusted production, you can't have your critical protective gear manufactured on the other side of the planet, vulnerable to every maritime shipping choke point or sudden border dispute.
You need it close to home.
Right. And the sources specifically call out regions like Turkey and the Middle East as showing incredibly strong investment potential right now.
And the logistics of that make perfect sense.
Yeah.
If you look at Turkey, for example, it serves as a critical geographic bridge.
It really does.
It allows manufacturers to bypass volatile maritime routes like the Red Sea entirely. They can produce bespoke technical textiles and transport them into European defense and consumer markets via rail or truck in a matter of days.
Rather than relying on ocean freight that takes weeks and carries massive geopolitical risk.
Exactly. It's about risk mitigation.
The Zimmer interview highlights that these regions are investing heavily in producing carpets, home textiles, and emerging technical applications.
Which is a major shift for them.
It is. They are deliberately moving away from simply being the regions that churn out the highest volume of basic, cheap materials. They are buying the high-end industrial machinery to capture the higher-margin, specialized segments of the market.
Keeping the entire value chain from specialized printing to final finishing closer to the end consumer. But here is the friction point.
There's always a friction point.
Always. Establishing a highly specialized, regionalized production hub from scratch means your margin for error is incredibly thin.
Wait, let me challenge that strategy for a second. Building a massive, state-of-the-art production hub in a newly regionalized area sounds great on paper for supply chain resilience. But doesn't that require a highly specialized, deeply experienced workforce to run these complex chemical printing and finishing lines? You can't just drop a $100 million factory into a new region and expect local technicians to instantly know how to prevent microbanding on an infrared-treated aramid fabric.
You're totally right, and that is the exact vulnerability that machinery suppliers are being forced to solve right now.
How do they even solve that?
Well, in the past, a factory was a very disjointed setup. You would buy a printer from supplier A, a curing oven from supplier B, and rely on deeply experienced operators on the factory floor to manually manage the tension and heat as the fabric moved between them.
Right, relying on that sort of tribal knowledge.
Exactly. That reliance on tribal knowledge just doesn't scale when you are rapidly regionalizing and standing up new facilities.
Here's where it gets really interesting, because the market is demanding an end to that piecemeal factory. Customers are now requiring complete integrated production solutions.
The entire package.
Yes. It's like building a smart home. You don't want a smart thermostat that refuses to talk to your smart blinds. You want an ecosystem. And manufacturers want an industrial ecosystem. They want the machine's internal telemetry to manage the tension, the heat, and the dye chemistry dynamically across the entire production line.
If we connect this to the bigger picture, the interview with Zimmer's CEO lays out four specific trends driving this ecosystem demand.
Okay, let's break these down.
And the first trend directly answers your question about the workforce gap. It's the push for connected, smarter production.
Right. So smarter production isn't just about collecting data for a fancy dashboard. It's about the machine doing the heavy cognitive lifting.
Precisely. It is about maximizing ease of operation and machine uptime. The software has to be sophisticated enough to synchronize the printing, the tension control, and the heat application so that you do not need an army of specialized technicians constantly standing over the line.
Because if a localized supply chain depends on this one integrated hub and the machine goes down, the entire regional chain just stops.
Exactly. The ecosystem has to self-monitor and self-correct.
Which naturally leads to the second trend. Because if you are processing these heavy, highly engineered technical substrates, that has to be absolutely brutal on the factory's energy and water consumption.
Oh, it's very resource intensive.
So how do they justify the environmental cost in these new regional hubs, especially in areas like the Middle East where water is a premium resource?
That brings us to trend number two, measurable sustainability.
Mm-hmm.
And the word measurable is critical here.
Not just marketing fluff.
Right. Buyers have zero interest in vague greenwashing. They demand ecosystems engineered to deliver mathematically proven industrial benefits. By integrating the machines, you eliminate redundant thermal cycles.
Ah, I see. If the printer and the drying oven are communicating perfectly as one continuous line, you don't have to heat the fabric up, let it cool down while it waits on a spool, and then heat it up all over again for finishing.
Exactly. That continuous thermal management drastically lowers energy consumption. It also allows for more precise dye application, which significantly reduces the water required to wash out excess chemicals later in the process.
So fewer overall steps in the process equals a measurable drop in resource consumption per yard of fabric produced.
That's it, exactly.
Okay, so the third trend mapping onto this ecosystem demand is the momentum in advanced materials. We already covered the surge in camouflage and protective gear, but this also blankets the mobility sector, right?
Yes. The advanced textiles inside automotive interiors or aerospace cabins, as well as highly engineered outdoor performance gear.
The substrates across the board are becoming denser, smarter, and far more complex to manipulate.
Which culminates in the fourth trend, the one that really redefined the machinery suppliers entirely. The absolute necessity of complete process solutions.
Complete solutions.
Right. Customers are dictating that printing, coating, fixation, drying, and finishing must be designed, delivered, and supported as a single optimized loop.
Let's contextualize that jargon for a second, because fixation and finishing are doing a lot of heavy lifting there. We aren't just talking about drying ink on a page like a desktop printer.
Far from it.
Fixation is the highly volatile process of using specific heat and pressure to literally lock the dye chemistry into the molecular structure of an advanced polymer.
It's a delicate chemical reaction.
Right, and if you get the fixation wrong, that weather-resistant military jacket degrades after a week in the field.
And that is why machinery providers like Zimmer Austria can no longer just be equipment vendors. They have to act as solution partners.
They're essentially co-designing the physics and chemistry of the factory's entire workflow.
Exactly. Because if the fixation fails, the customer doesn't want to play referee between the company that built the printer and the company that built the curing oven.
They just point fingers at each other.
Right. They want one partner accountable for the entire ecosystem.
The sources dive into some specific engineering to show exactly how Zimmer is achieving this, and the scale is honestly staggering. One of the major standouts at Tech Tech still was their Kolaris Tech system.
Specifically featuring that massive full-scale Kolaris print carriage.
Yes. To give you, the listener, a mental image of the industrial muscle we are talking about, this single print carriage features up to 96 separate print heads.
Operating 96 print heads simultaneously across a wide industrial carriage moving at high speeds is just a masterclass in fluid dynamics and software synchronization.
Consider the data processing required for that alone. You have to time the microsecond firing of millions of microscopic dye droplets to prevent them from colliding in midair or misfiring.
Because that would cause banding on the fabric.
Exactly. And you are doing this over a challenging substrate that might be actively chemically resisting the liquid.
It guarantees that flawless industrial repeatability we established as the baseline requirement for trusted production. It allows a manufacturer to handle intense complexity with absolute reliability.
But the ecosystem approach isn't just limited to flat woven fabrics, is it? The Zimmer interview also highlights continued strong market interest in their ChromaJet system, which is explicitly engineered for carpets and heavy pile materials.
Right, and printing on carpet presents an entirely different set of physical challenges.
I would imagine.
If you just spray ink onto the surface of a thick pile, the pattern will literally wear off after a few months of heavy foot traffic, exposing the undyed fibers underneath.
So how does the ecosystem solve that?
By combining the high-resolution design freedom of the Kolaris system with the raw mechanical force of the ChromaJet.
Okay, how does that work?
The ChromaJet doesn't just lay dye on top. It uses pressurized valves to inject the dye deep into the base of the carpet pile.
So it is essentially a high-pressure injection system that guarantees full penetration of the fiber, wrapped in an ecosystem that controls the exact volume of dye so you don't saturate the backing and ruin the structural integrity of the carpet.
Exactly. It allows a regional manufacturer in Turkey or the Middle East to offer their clients incredibly intricate, high-resolution aesthetic designs, while simultaneously guaranteeing the robust, heavy-duty physical performance required for, say, a commercial hotel or an airport lounge.
It's the perfect synthesis of aesthetics and demanding technical performance, all housed within a single, integrated workflow.
It really proves that the suppliers who will actually survive and thrive in this new era of manufacturing are the ones who can deliver that complete zero-friction package.
Let's pull back and synthesize the journey we've been on today, because we've covered a massive amount of strategic ground, starting from a very unexpected data point.
We began by looking at the surprising dominance of military and camouflage printing on the Tech Textile exhibition floor.
Right. But we quickly realized it wasn't really a conversation about patterns at all.
No, it was a physical manifestation of a massive global shift toward resilient, high specification, and trusted production.
From there, we looked at how global financial volatility is actually dictating the investment mindset. The mood is serious, but constructive.
Companies aren't freezing their budgets, but they aren't throwing money around blindly either.
Exactly. They are investing selectively in highly capable automated industrial ecosystems to build localized supply chains, specifically targeting geographic bridges like Turkey and the Middle East to bypass global shipping risks.
And finally, we explored the physics and engineering required to make those regional hubs function. You cannot rely on isolated machines and tribal knowledge anymore.
No, you need a smart, fully integrated production ecosystem where the supplier takes total ownership of the process, bringing massive, precise technology like 96 printhead synchronization and pressurized dye injection to bear on increasingly advanced materials.
And I think it is critical for you as you listen to this to recognize that these four signals, the pivot to strategic applications, the highly selective investment mindset, the demand for integrated solutions, and the aggressive push for regional supply chains are not just contained to the textile industry.
They're everywhere.
That is the ultimate strategic takeaway. What we are looking at is a proven blueprint for the future of global industry as a whole.
Right.
The exact same geopolitical pressures, the same need for operational efficiency, and the universal demand for measurable sustainability reshaping the floor of Tech Tech Seoul 2026 are already reshaping automotive manufacturing, semiconductor fabrication, and pharmaceuticals.
Which brings us to a final thought I want to leave you with today. The sources showed us an industry aggressively pivoting toward resilient, regional, and trusted production.
The invisible scaffolding.
Exactly. Yeah. The very materials that protect us in hazardous environments and the fabrics that furnish our homes and vehicles are undergoing a massive strategic shift towards self-reliance, Take a hard look at your own industry, whatever field you happen to work in. How long until it faces the exact same structural pressure to regionalize? And when that global pressure finally fractures your sector's traditional way of doing business, will your local supply chains be ready?
It is a question that every strategic leader, engineer, and investor needs to be actively solving for right now. Because the invisible scaffolding of our world is being dismantled and rebuilt closer to home, and the pace of that change is only accelerating.
We started today talking about how easy it is to take the physical world for granted. We interact with materials constantly without considering the massive industrial forces required to engineer them. Hopefully, after today, the next time you put on a piece of high-performance outerwear, or even just walk across a high-resolution printed carpet in a hotel lobby, you won't just see the fabric.
You'll see the engineering behind it.
You'll see the integrated software, the fluid dynamics, and the massive global strategy woven right into the material. Thank you for joining us on this deep dive. Keep questioning the world around you. Keep looking for the invisible scaffolding, and we will catch you next time.